From the studios of Books in Motion, this is Rebecca Cook, reading The Lost Artist by Gail Lukasik. Now let's begin The Lost Artist. Prologue. Anna, Illinois, present day. The empty grave changed everything. She stood on the porch watching the car's taillights disappear down the gravel road until only darkness and thunder remained, and the old house looming over her with intent. She could smell the rain coming, feel the electricity sizzle the night air. Rain. It had begun with rain. Insistent, unrelenting, washing away the soil, loosening the dark old roots, exposing the empty grave. The local press would be all over the story, all over her, all over her house. She could see the front page headline, "Early Settler's Body Missing from Grave." Below it, a grainy photo of her house, and the tagline, "The 1836 Braun House Still Stands in Anna, Illinois. Professor Karen Caffrey is the house's present owner." But there was no way anyone could tie her to the theft. She'd been too careful. Suddenly a scissor of heat lightning illuminated the landscape, and a dark figure appeared at the edge of the woods near the house. He was back. "Sick, sick, sick," she said, digging in her skirt pocket, yanking out her cell phone. She held it up in his direction so he could see it. Then she flipped it open.
"I'm calling the sheriff," she shouted.
Even as she said it, she knew it was an idle threat. The restraining order said 100 feet. The woods were more than 200 feet from the house. Besides, the police were the last thing she wanted now. The phone rang off to message, and she heard her sister's voice, then the beep. She must have mistakenly hit Rose's number. With her eyes still riveted on him, she finished the charade, then put the phone back in her pocket. Slowly he disappeared into the woods, until all she could see were the trees swaying in some silent dance only they knew. She quickly opened the front door, her hands shaking. Once inside, she locked the door, went into the front parlor, shut the windows, locking them, and drawing the curtains. For a moment, she stood listening for his footsteps on the porch, wondering if the fake phone call had scared him off. Or would this be the night he would follow through on his threats? She ran her hand over the cell phone in her pocket. Maybe she should call the police. When she didn't hear anything, she peered through a slit in the curtains. Nothing. She let out a deep sigh. Her ruse had worked. She was safe. Intimidation, that's what he wanted. He wouldn't risk touching her again. The kitchen door. Damn, she said to herself, running down the hall. She turned the back door lock and shut the windows. Another flash of heat lightning blazed the kitchen with light, and rain started pinging the windows. As she walked back down the hall and up the wide plank stairs, she realized she was shaking again. I can't let him get to me like this. Once upstairs, she paused outside her study and glanced across the narrow hall. Her desire to gaze at the murals was so strong she almost gave in to it. There was no time for that now, she told herself, turning and walking into her study. The rain was falling in sheets now, glazing her windows with sound. She switched on the overhead light, sat down at her computer, and powered it up, nervously tapping her foot. Tonight, her cocoon-like study with the walls of books didn't have its usual calming effect. Instead, it intensified her sense of things closing in on her. She was finding it hard to breathe. When the screen appeared, she typed in her password, clicked on her hard drive, scrolled down to the file entitled Syllabi, and opened it. There were her meticulous notes in chronological order, from the purchase of the farmhouse to the discovery of the diary to the restoration of the 3 mural walls. July 3rd, she typed. Emily Braun's grave is empty. Lawrence claims the oak tree tumbled over and exposed the empty grave.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?